You are listening to the award-winning The Young Jerks with Mike Crawford.
I'm 6 feet away from Lorna's room. I mean, Lorna's ashes are in a box just feet away from me. And I mean, she's here with me every day, and it's wicked tough. It's wicked tough. She shouldn't have gone out like that. All I know is she passed out at work and she lost oxygen, and she had a brain injury, and she was dead. She went to work and she didn't come home.
Oh man!
I mean, supposedly these are very dusty environments in these rooms. I mean, I've never been in one, but supposedly they're very dusty when they're processing this stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe you could tell me, but I'm not sure.
No, it definitely, that's what we hear from the employees quite a bit, that there's a lot of dust created and there's a lot of kind of pathogens that can come in the air, you know, different molds and powdery mildews. And
I didn't know that either.
Yeah. So, Dave, thank you for calling in. You're the stepfather. You lost your stepdaughter, 27 years old, Lorna. Is there any, like, is the family pursuing this, like civil suits?
I know that her mother, again, we're not together, but her mother went to OSHA. And she's trying to file a wrongful death suit against Trulieve. And that's all I know right now.
Do you know if she's filed an OSHA complaint?
I believe she did. Okay, again, we're not speaking.
That's good to know.
That's a whole other story.
No, yeah. That's for me to get from OSHA. I've got them before with other dispensaries. Complaints and
I know that she has a lawyer, and I know that she went to OSHA. That's what I know for a fact.
Okay. Well, we will follow up on that definitely. And this is kind of it's so sad. It really is. It just doesn't need to happen that they weren't giving her mask. It's just that to me is horrific.
Right. And my kids in a box now in the next room.
Right.
You know, I mean, what the hell?
I'm really sorry, Dave, that we have to talk on this, you know, about this. But I mean, if we can bring some, you know, justice, kind of to bring up the topic that these dispensaries need much more oversight for all the rest of the employees that are in there right now, and it's almost the exact same situation in hundreds of these locations around Massachusetts.
It sounds like it's pretty hectic from some of the stories she told me. So,
and I'm a cannabis supporter. Like, I use cannabis. I want it to be good. I don't want it to be, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, I believe.
I used to, but it's not the same animal as it was when I was a kid.
Yeah, it's a little different. It is a little different.
And I get drug tested. So, you know, I can't weld on school buses and smoke.
That's a totally different. You got a lot of liability there. You probably have higher insurance premiums than I do.
I think so.
Yeah. So, thank you so much for calling in. I mean, do you want to make any comment to, you know, just a general? Can you hear me?
I can't say I have too much. I can hear you. I can't say I have too much more to add. But when you started to bring up the issue with the masks, I know for a fact that this place isn't protecting their workers in this environment. I know it for a fact.
Do you think anything will change for the workers? Or do you think that this is just kind of going to get nothing? You know,
That I can't answer. I would hope that something came out of this. You know, like the very next day, I would hope something came out of this. But I can't answer to that. I have no idea.
Yeah, I'm shocked that it took me so long to find out about this, that no other reporter has covered this yet, but we're asking them to. I know that some reporters do watch this show. We're asking you to dig into this, please, you know, look into it.
Right, right.
And the same thing with the community, the okay. cannabis community. Thank you so much, Dave, for calling in. I really appreciate you calling
appreciate
in.
You, Mike.
I'm sorry that you lost Lorna.
Thank you.
Anything we could do for you in the future, just let us know, please.
I will. Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, Dave.
All right. Good night.
Good night. Wow. Ooh, that was tough. I mean, yeah. The real people, you know, we predicted it, and now we're talking to someone's stepdad. This is why we do the show. This is, people have been questioning us lately. There's no question. This is real reality for us. This is like, I thought about not doing the show. I kind of cut back. There's a lot of things going on. I couldn't. I just had, we are so back. This week we have more shows. We got number one Monday night, tomorrow night, 7 p.m. We're going to be speaking to a Massachusetts state senator candidate for the Workers' Party, Laura Saylor. We're going to be talking about some police, a lot of police misconduct down there on the South Shore. There's four different police officers involved in a really horrific incident with a young minor child who later committed suicide. Four local police officers, three of them in one town, are under fire for inappropriate relationships. It sounds like they had sex with this young minor girl. Welcome to the show. This is Mike Crawford, Young Jerks. That was last night. I think a lot of us are talking about last night. I want to really give a lot of love and support to Dave, who called in last night, the stepdad of Lorna McMurray. I wasn't ready for that call. That was tough. That was tough for all of us. I think it's tough listening. I know a lot of people have reviewed that today, posted about it, shared it. So much going on related to that. So I wanted to just replay, because that was the part of the show where I think everyone wanted to see and hear. Some people heard it, some people saw some of it. That was it in its entirety. We have a state Senate candidate on the show tonight, as you notice in that little intro, who we're going to ask about, you know, that's the first question tonight. How do we protect workers? How do we protect workers, especially in the cannabis space, industrial, big cannabis, the manufacturers, the cultivators, the large ones, the multi-state operators? We're not talking about micro grows or SEs. We're talking about the larger industry. How do we protect workers? So let's bring up the candidate, because she's in the Workers' Party. She's on the ballot. You can vote for her in November. Massachusetts State Senator. I've known her for quite a while. She's an activist. She covers a lot of different topics we're going to talk about tonight. But I wanted to get, even before she even tells you about herself and her campaign and who she is, I want to know what she thinks about Lorna McMurray and her stepdad, Dave, who called in last night. So let's bring her up and see what she thinks. What's up, Laura Saylor?
Mike, that's so tragic and it's so horrible. And what really got me was this girl's date of birth and how young she is.
27.
I know it. And I had to turn around and like go out on the balcony, listen to her stepdad talk. It was so sad. OSHA's really, you know, OSHA's really Swiss cheese at the moment. It's I'm seeing this in a lot of different industries. The railway workers are not happy with the deal. The rank and file are not happy with the deal. A lot of people are striking. Trader Joe's, our candidate for auditor, had a run-in with the CEO of Trader Joe's this summer. And he was, you know, banished from the premises. But just for showing up in support of workers and getting signatures for a workers' party, you know. And this is something that, yeah, it's going to have to be taken on, I think, at a bigger level than just one at a time. And cannabis being a new industry, I'm hearing a lot about it. I'm hearing a lot about it from people I know that have worked in the industry or, you know, might have a job there.
I mean, we predicted this was going to happen.
Yeah.
We've been covering it. And we predicted how long before there's a death.
I'll tell you what.
And here's the death. And here we're talking. I mean, it's shocking. It's like, it's one of those stories I wish we weren't right on. I wish.
And you know what's outrageous?
What you said about OSHA, I think, is on the mark, because we called OSHA. Like, you know, they didn't do anything. They let them come back with written lies. And as long as OSHA did help us a little bit in terms of the New England treatment access, because it forced them to be on the record, but they could have done a lot more. And, you know, I think that they're actually starting to do a lot more in the cannabis space, or especially with Trulieve, but it's a little late, you know, and it just going to be one company, or are you going to do it systematic through the entire industry? Because that's what needs to happen.
Yeah. Something like this, like it's unacceptable. Like, it's just flat out unacceptable. If you're going to have people going into work and you can't bring them, you can't give them masks.
Someone with asthma.
What they need to do their job properly.
Right.
I mean, you know, it makes my blood boil.
If you were a state senator, what kind of things would you like? What kind of, because we've been hearing that, like, number one, like, what about CPR training, mandatory CPR for all the employees? Because we don't know, but we're assuming that CPR wasn't even tried. Just things like that. Like even when we're talking to NETA workers, there were NETA workers who told us that there were more fires than fire drills. And that a lot of the workers didn't even know how to get out of the building in a fire, you know, fire situation. And then there was another fire. So, like, we're predicting things not through my, you know, ex brains or anything, through the employees who were telling us these things. And that's how we came up with the prediction that someone was going to die. It was through talking to hundreds of employees, and the employees tell us these common sense things that aren't being done. What would you do if you were state senator to make it better for workers in the cannabis space and all these other spaces as well?
Well, my gosh. I mean, I would just put through so many new strengths to workplace safety, because everywhere you go, it's unbelievable. I even had the woman at the Cumberland Farms that manages the Cumberland Farms up the street a couple months ago tell me, you know, the company told me that I can start hiring teenagers. She said, I'm not doing that. She said, it's disgusting. I'm not doing it. And, you know, it's really quite startling to see the tide against workers turn. And it's been going slowly my entire adult life. I've been seeing this happen, but the past couple of years, boy, you know, I thought for sure after COVID, you're not going to leave the OSHA regs in place. No. Really? You have got to strengthen, you've got to strengthen workplace safety. And I also strongly support new unions, the Amazon Workers Union, the Starbucks workers, the Trader Joe's workers. I think some of the other bigger unions are at this point, you know, kind of tied too much in with management.
And some of my UFCW friends who definitely have their own, you know, labor interests. Some people call them a monopoly.
Yeah, but they, I've been UCFW.
For cannabis workers anyways, you know, in terms of cannabis workers, because they're pretty much the largest union for cannabis workers. But I find they do great work. I like them a lot. And I've been working along with them. And they are bringing up labor peace agreements as being, like, essential, you know, something to really protect workers. They're also pushing a workers' bill of rights for cannabis workers.
Yep.
Are those things that you would support as well? Forcing companies to have labor peace agreements, number one.
Oh, that even goes without saying. Absolutely, we would do that.
Yeah, you're the workers' party, right?
Yeah, absolutely, we would do that. You know, to be honest, I think that we would do more for workers than anybody else running. Maybe a few of the green candidates, but you know, I was a member of UCFW.
Oh, you were?
Papa Shop, yeah.
And I was a teacher way back. Yeah, go ahead.
They're pretty good. You know, they're not bad as a union. I was, you know, happy, but. Thing is, though, with these unions, is the ones that have been a while, the bigger ones, a lot of them grow the union leadership from rank and file employees, but they usually take the employees when they're about middle management somewhere. So you wind up with a lot of nepotism in some of the unions too, which can be a problem.
Absolutely. But any organization. I'm going to say that with any organization. That's why I am pretty much anti-organization. And now, I don't mean in terms of you should never work with organizations. I work with organizations all the time. For myself, for my show, we're not going to be part of any org. You know what I mean? Mm-mm. Just like, you know, because of that, I don't want to have a boss in this. This is our thing. This isn't an organization. Well, I did that with Mascan for years, and it has its organizations are very, they get things done. They have institutional power. They're organized. There's a need for them. Definitely.
That's right.
There's a place for them.
That's why we formed the Workers' Party, because we want people on the left to have a party that represents our values and our views, because neither the Democrats nor the Republicans do.
So usually I start when I'm interviewing, but because tonight's a little different, and you have been on the show before too, but usually we start with right off the bat, we ask about the campaign. Why are you running? Who are you? Tell us about you. But you know, we start a little differently tonight because of Lorna and her stepdad. I mean, we had to play that again. That's what everyone wanted to see tonight. I know.
Right. And I mean, it breaks my heart.
Everyone's talking about it today, and we're going to talk more about that tonight as well. But tell us about you, why you're running, why the Workers' Party, you know, what are the big issues for you, all that stuff.
I'll tell you what. Back in 2019, right before COVID hit Christmas, myself and Nick and Casey were sitting around my kitchen table. And we were thinking, what are we gonna end up with? What are they gonna do? I mean, what can the Democrats even offer? And this is ridiculous. And we decided to form the Workers' Party. And we did our program, and we decided we would run candidates because we feel that the left needs their own political power, their own political party. And we did it. We managed to form the party. We had our political designation through the Secretary of State within a year. And we're running three candidates. We're running myself against Paul Feeney in Bristol and Norfolk 4th District. And we are running Nick Giannone statewide as an auditor candidate. And we are running Brandon Griffin in Plymouth 7 in Whitman. So that's how you get your official party status. And that's what we're up to. But we want to make sure, we want to differentiate ourselves from the other two parties. And you know there is a difference. Quite a few differences. But I would say that we would be a lot more for the workers than either one of them.
Excellent. And there was a couple... my dog's going crazy right now. I think my partner just came in the house or something. She's outside. I might have to take a break and let you just go on about your campaign for a little bit and take care of it. We'll see. But, you know, one of the things that you had brought to me was a story. It's about the Mansfield Police Chief Ron Sellen.
Yes, Elmer.
After investigation, this is from the Sun Chronicle. It's after investigation, Mansfield says Police Chief Ron Sellen not fit to serve.
Yep.
And there's a video. I think, do you want to try to play that video?
I don't know how to do it on here. If you
no, can I can. Do you want me to try?
Yeah, play it. It's funny.
Well, it's going to take me a second, but let's see if I can. I probably can do it.
Yeah.
Make sure I don't remove myself. And let's try it. Tell us a little bit about this before I, you know, find this and set it up.
It came to our attention that the Mansfield police chief was out of the office and getting paid. They had a select board meeting, and it came out in the Sun Chronicle that Steve Schoenfeld, one of the select board members, felt that the public had a right to know where the police chief was. And no one else in the select board nor the town manager wanted that information out. So we in the Workers' Party got together and we drew up these posters of Ron Sellen on a milk carton. It said missing, we did on cardstock, you know, last seen receiving a $200,000 bonus or whatever. And blasted the Mall of Mansfield, and Ryan Kath and Shara Stoll at Channel 10 saw them and asked if they could interview us. So when they interviewed us, everybody got upset and they couldn't put the story away. They had to follow it. Now everybody knows why Ron Sullen wasn't at work and why we were paying two police chiefs. And, you know, that's where it is right now. So this video, though, is election night.
I'm going to stop playing that now.
Okay. That show, we showed up on election day and held our posters up.
Takes a little while before it gets spicy. He's
not fit to serve because he has rage attacks. He has a temper problem.
Which you're going to see in this video shortly. I should have jumped it to the part, but. No. For people who don't like to hear a lot of yelling and profanities and swearing, you probably should just step away for a minute or two here. This guy goes nuts. All right, there we go. I think we've had enough of that, but you get the idea. He's showing up at someone's house and yelling at them and calling them.
Well, no, this is his own front yard.
Oh, that is his own front yard. Okay.
His own front yard. That's his neighbor's Ring video camera.
I see.
On that video, he threatens to hunt down the children of the select board and the town manager. Town manager doesn't have any children, but he said he'd hunt their fucking children down.
Oh my God.
And I guess the town referred it to the DA, who chose not to do anything. But the fact of the matter is, nobody really, if we didn't get it out there and really push the issue, he'd just be sitting there waiting, you know, getting paid until he gets, you know, however much time in his pension in. But we really pushed it. Because really, this man was police chief since 2013.
He's unfit. I mean, that totally shows you how unfit he is.
This guy constructed his own problem-oriented policing department and posed as a progressive reformer. See, this is why we formed the party.
There you go. But a lot of Democrats who are totally conservatives in the state.
Yeah. But I mean, I'm sure that people didn't know that was how he felt.
Yeah.
But what really kind of blows my mind is that he will sit there and he will say, yeah, you know, I'm still fit to serve. I was just blowing off steam. That was no big deal.
But they're still paying him, right?
Yeah. And there's no self-awareness whatsoever. No self-awareness. None. He doesn't think that what he does is a big deal. And if you read the investigation available in the Sun Chronicle interviews and all, it's like a whole department of like 12-year-old bullies sitting in detention. That's how they operate. You know, it's kind of wild. But he is waiting for they're processing his, they're figuring out how to process his employment now, is what they're saying. So that's where it is. So they just declared him unfit to serve, and now they're dealing with how to, I guess, get rid of him. I don't know. But I think he's going to fight it.
Thank you for filling in. I'm having a crazy moment over here.
That's all right. That's
with all right. The dogs. The dogs. And Mike. I thought my partner was going to wait to bring these other dogs in. I don't know. We have a dog situation right now, but we'll deal with it. We had a comment from David. David is the stepdad who we interviewed last night.
Oh, hi, Lorna. David.
He just commented. He said, just now tuning in. Don't know what I missed. You missed the replay of your interview, David. We just think you're awesome. You're a great dad, great stepdad, and we're really proud of you. And we want to send you all the love for what you did last night for Lorna. And it means a lot to, I'm sure, her and the whole community and me and everybody, because you're brave, man. You're the man.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's outrageous.
So we were talking about that, and we're going to continue to talk about Lorna McMurray, who passed away. She's born in 1994, passed away earlier this year in January 2022. She was a Trulieve employee, passed away after a shift at Trulieve. She was transported to a medical facility. And as her father, stepdad said last night, David, he said she never made it home. He said, you know, some really tough stuff last night. He said his daughter is in a box.
Yeah.
She shouldn't be in a box.
No, she's so young.
So young.
And like for what? You know, it's like for what? $15 an hour?
For no and no mask.
Yeah. No, they can't even give her a mask. I mean, really, right?
Ugh. So you're definitely you're running Laura Saylor for Massachusetts State Senate. What cities and towns, what area? Tell us where you're running.
Bristol, Norfolk, and I'm going to tell you why I'm running in Bristol, Norfolk. Number one, I live here. Number two, Paul Feeney is a dedicated, qualified immunity supporter. And I don't think I need to tell you how I feel about qualified immunity.
Well, I think you should tell people because I don't I know what it is, but probably 50% of our audience knows because they're activists.
Qualified immunity. A lot of people don't. Qualified immunity is what I like to call a loophole that lets usually police, but other municipal employees, government employees off too. When they commit egregious conduct, you know, you can't go after them. They get basically a different level of justice than the rest of us. You know, and I just think that everybody, you know, I don't care if you're a government employee, who you are, you do something egregious, you need to be held accountable. Maybe we'd have a better government if we held people accountable. But we don't like to do that. You know, so that's why I am going against Paul Feeney. Paul Feeney is also not the best on climate change. Like he supports, you know, opening new leases, and he supports all of that. But the main thing is his dedicated qualified immunity support and his votes usually in favor of police, what the police unions want. So that was my reason for deciding to run in my district. Do I think I'll win? No. I have no.
Well, let me ask you this, because sometimes it's not actually about winning the campaign. It's about actually winning the campaign of ideas.
That's what we're doing.
If he takes on a lot of these issues in the end, because he has to, I mean, that's a win.
I don't think he ever will, but I think that what the big deal is though, is that we get this out in the public and the public sees that, you know, no, there are other options. You know, do things have to be this way? No, they don't. You know, maybe think about this. And that's how you grow a movement, really. You know, plus you want to be able to say to people next election or whatever, well, what do you want us to vote for? Well, okay, here we are. We have a political party, a political home for you.
We have a phone number. People can definitely call in tonight. If you have a question for the candidate, call in 978-560-3155. Maybe you want to talk about the story of the day around here, or probably the year, Lorna McMurray, what we've been covering, what we broke last night on our show. Maybe you want to talk about her stepdad, Dave, like I do. He's a great guy, deserves all of our support. We have mad love for Dave. He had a lot of courage last night and showed a lot of love for his daughter to do that. And if you want to call in, you have any comment, 978-560-3155 is the phone number. You can do so. We're with Laura Saylor. She's running for Massachusetts State Senate. She's a Workers' Party candidate. She's going up against the incumbent Democrat, Paul Feeney. If you want change from Feeney, Laura's here. And Laura, you must be talking to a lot of folks on the campaign trail right now. Mm-hmm. What are some of the other issues besides, you know, police qualified immunity? Besides the green stuff, housing.
Now, Brandon Griffin, our candidate in Whitman, he's already on the city council. He sits on the planning board. And he also is, he also works with a lot of rental assistance and anti-eviction organizations out there. So we're trying to do the whole gamut. We have people doing climate change, and that's Ed in Hopkinton, Ed and Zach. They've got a lot going on there. We've got people out in Western Mass. Most of the people in Western Mass, Greenfield defunded their police this year by $400,000.
And what did they do with that money?
They're going to reallocate it.
To what? Education?
The services, well.
Library, what? Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure exactly where, but it's going to, it's, I don't know where they reallocated it, but it was going to go to actual, you know, like they have a lot of opioid services in Greenfield, things like okay. that.
Yep.
Because their police chief, or their police chief, they just let the police chief come back, but a black officer sued them for discrimination and won. So that's how they got to defund them by $400,000 in their budget as well. And they had to let go of, I think, 7 or 8 younger officers, or junior officers. There's really not a need for them. See, that's the thing. You know, we don't need as many as we have. And if you read the investigation in the Sun Chronicle, you're going to see that the way these departments are run is just like, it's so dysfunctional. So dysfunctional. We're seeing it in Stoughton. And I'd like to say that with Borna, the reason Chief Sellen came to light was also a workplace issue. He was bullying his coworkers.
That's right.
You know, so like all of this stuff is tied in together.
Yeah, you see that a lot. A lot of stuff gets broken because of worker abuse.
Evictions. Right. It's all of this stuff is tied in together.
We're talking to Laura Sala. She's running for Massachusetts State Senate in Massachusetts. Again, I said that twice. Yes, I did.
Yes, you did. And I have no delusions that I'm going to win. None.
What's your website? You have a website. You have a Facebook. I know that.
LauraSala@nationbuilder.com. Yeah. And we got the Workers' Party website. Our signs are all Workers' Party signs, generic Workers' Party signs, because that's what we can afford.
And you're on Twitter as well?
Yep.
Instagram?
No.
No Instagram.
I'm a nana. I stopped at Facebook and Twitter.
We're the Young Jerks. My name is Mike Crawford. This is Laura Sala. She's running for Massachusetts State Senate. We're taking your questions. You talked about housing. What are some of the things that could help in the housing issue? What are your solutions?
Well, there's got to be right now. Well, especially I think it was a mistake for them to let go of the eviction moratorium with COVID. A big mistake. There wasn't enough financial help out there. I think that we have enough places for people to live. We just have to figure out how to get it to them. Obviously, sweeping the streets is no answer. That's cruel and inhumane. And I just don't understand why there seems to be plenty of buildings. And we can't house these people. We're paying 2 police chiefs in my town. I'm sure that you could take one of those salaries and probably house half the homeless population of Mansfield with it for a year. It's a question of where how you budget things is what you value. You know, what you prioritize is what you value. And I don't think in state, local, or federal government that regular people are being valued.
I love all that.
They're not.
Yeah, like everything you said about the priorities, about what
like with the Ron Sellen stuff, Mike.
But okay, go ahead.
What's weird about that is that we have support from people across the political spectrum,
right?
On that, and that's what you need to do. You need to come together with people and have solidarity, and you know, get this stuff done. That's how people have conversations.
Right. I think everyone, left and right, doesn't like corruption, especially police corruption.
Right.
And, you know, shady stuff from, you know, at the top, management especially. police chiefs who make good money should be professional. excuse me. Excuse me. I got to learn the cough button there. New thing to learn in the studio here.
You have a cough button?
I think so. Usually they have one on. Yeah, I do actually. I could actually have used that. But yeah.
That's pretty cool.
AAF always had a cough button. Our cough button is different though. It's not a cough button. It's a, I don't know. I got to make sure that is actually a cough button before I touch it. But anyways, we got new equipment here. We're learning it. I just did an amazing new thing yesterday, which on last night's show. So I feel much clearer speaking now. I was having some issues with the headphones and hearing myself versus the guest, and everything's working great now. I feel really relaxed actually with this, the equipment for the first time.
Oh, it was very easy to go in and join.
Yeah. But I want to get back to that, what you were talking about, the eviction moratorium.
Oh, yeah.
Because for me, I didn't really like the eviction moratorium. And the reason why I feel like it set people up. Like, it's so like,
yeah, because
you're going to tell people that they don't have to pay rent, and then eventually they have to pay the rent, or they're going to get evicted.
Right.
And then they can't get a new place because they have an eviction. Like, it's like, and I don't like you said it to extend it. I don't like that either, though, because I feel like,
well,
like you can't just extend, you can't just not pay rent forever to people, expect the building to be there. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, I agree.
So how do we, like, how do we deal with these issues, I guess, more rationally, long term, versus just trying to do what we did this time?
Yeah. I think you've also got to put a moratorium on LLCs buying up properties. I think you've got to, I think there's got to be a moratorium on that for a while. Owen Broadhurst was over visiting last week, and he was looking through the Holyoke Daily Paper. Two pages of properties that were ready to go into tax foreclosure the next day. The majority of them were owned by LLCs, probably never paid a dime, right? Bought them up, made some money, and now the city will get, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I think we put a moratorium on that for quite some time.
What about another thing? I did, covered some protests for City Life, Vita Urbana. Mm-hmm. Does really good stuff. And these tenants that we went to see, like, they were getting like 100% rent increases overnight when a new larger property owner came in and bought their small building. Would you support something like limiting rent increase you only can have your rent grow up 20% a year or whatever it is? What would the number be? Like, you'd have to look into it, but you'd support something like that? Because 100% rent increase does not seem fair to an existing.
I had a coworker come to me 2 years in a row. She got a $500 a year, $500 a month rent increase 2 years in a row. $1,000 rent increase in 2 years.
Yeah.
The place next door, they went.
Is that legal? Could we do that even if the state passed something like that? I'm wondering if it's even legal.
What, for them to
price to limit the price increase? Yeah. To say you can't.
You'd have to do some legislation to make that happen. Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting.
It is, and it's like the complex across next door to me. They have some subsidized units, but some of them are not. And they have two swimming pools.
We get a call. Let's see who it is.
And
hello.
Is this the Young Jerks?
It is, but you have your radio on. I don't know why that keeps happening. Whoever was calling, please call back, but turn your stream off your phone first. Like, you got to turn it off, because anything on your phone will come through. I believe that's the issue for people. He's going to try again. We'll see if we can take him.
Hello.
Really?
Are you there? Let's go. Who's this?
Yes, this is Dave.
Oh, what's up, Dave?
I called. How you doing? Is this Mike?
Yes, it is.
Hey, just listen. I'm watching your podcast right now. I'm listening to Laura Saylor and yourself talk about about CPR training. And when my daughter went down on the floor at Trulies, her mother and I wondered why people were standing around. Did anyone know CPR?
Someone should.
And it was, we think it's a huge. Hello?
Someone should definitely be knowing CPR.
Yeah, I can hear you. It looks like we're getting a little feedback coming in from somewhere.
All right. All right.
No,
well,
keep talking.
It would appear that no one. It would appear that no one there knew CPR. I think we think it was a huge factor why Lorna died the way she did. We weren't there in the room, obviously, but people, I could only imagine that people were standing around panicking while Lorna was not breathing. Okay? I mean, when my wife went to go pick her up, when my wife pulled into the parking lot of Truly, Lorna was in an ambulance. And as far as we know, she was given CPR for 11 minutes. And it was too late at that point. She had already lost too much oxygen and she had suffered a brain injury. And we believe that people there did not know CPR. There's different facets of this story that haven't all been told, but that's just part of it. The mask and the CPR thing is just different. There's different parts of this.
Thank you, Dave, for calling in again tonight. Thank you for letting us know about this.
Yeah, I'm paying attention. I'm watching what you're doing.
Thank you. You're. I hope you know how people really support you and love you.
I appreciate that. But you know, I really do. It's too bad to after the fact. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
All right, Mike.
Have a good night, Dave. Thank you so much.
All right, brother.
Bye now.
Bye-bye,
Dave.
There was a little bit of feedback. I don't know if we got to figure that out because this happened last night with his phone, and then it didn't happen, and. It could be us, you know, it's funny.
He's right though about CPR. There should be someone in that workspace that knows CPR.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean
to hear that, to hear him talk about that now, like it's.
That's a degradation of OSHA over our lifetimes. And this is where we're at.
You're an industrial site. You should have CPR training.
Yep. Basic first aid, at least in CPR. And I mean masks. You've got to, like, if you're working in a poultry farm, if you're working in a grow place, if you're working some, always you should have a mask.
You should.
Yeah.
We're the Young Jerks. We're taking your phone calls. That again was for people that don't know, that was Lorna's stepdad. Again, we weren't expecting his call tonight, and he just takes my breath away. Like every time he calls, it's like, you know, it's really hard to talk about, man. This is his stepdaughter who, like he said, her ashes are right next to him. They're sitting right there. She's 27 years old. He brought her up since she was a young little girl. Real stuff we're talking about, right? Yeah. Right, Laura? Did you expect it to be so sad tonight on the show?
I did not. I was really
me neither.
Chatting with
you. And we can have fun. We can still laugh. I mean, we still have fun on the show. We always have fun. We've been on like an upswing having fun lately. So, you know, we got to have some fun somehow.
Well, before we have fun, we'll go.
Are we going to smoke some weed together? You smoke cannabis. Can we say that? Or is that off the record? Did I just out you? Oh, you are. You're already smoking. You're vaping.
I am.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See, that's cool. We're cool. We're getting up there in age. We're still kind of, we got something going on.
I was talking to some neighbors about this summer. It's like, you're seeing like senior citizens getting high everywhere, you know, and I'm so here for that. It's awesome.
It's if I ever live to 100, I'll be big on TikTok. I'm going to like be the guy, the 100-year-old that smokes the joints still.
I know it. It's true. I mean, you know, you see middle-aged, older people out there all the time.
We're the Young Jerks. You can call in 978-560-3155. Or you can send an instant feedback on our stream. Looks like quite a few people are watching. Not as many comments tonight, though, but we appreciate all the people listening. We appreciate all the reshares. What I notice a lot now, too, is that all the comments come like the moment we end the show. I'll go look and I'll be like, look at all these comments we didn't even see. I don't know, you know, I don't know if StreamYard picks them up that quickly, honestly, all the comments that we get to post up here, but it's always great when we get to post the comments. We've also had some great like reviews lately and reshares of our show. A couple shows, last night's show got a lot of replays, reviews, people sharing it, as well as the Shalene Title, Aiden Coffey, and Chris Goldstein, the Cannabis Roundtable show. Those are like, people are really happy with those shows. I'm happy with those shows as well. I mean, I'm not 100% happy because there's still some technical issues always, but we're getting there. And mostly the technical issues are me. So
progress,
I know I can fix me.
You've come a long way from what was it, 2015 or something. Your show's come a long way.
It's changed a lot. It's weird. Yeah. We had our ups and downs and ups and downs again. You know what I mean? It's been going so long now. So many eras of it. But this feels like we're on to something new lately. This is like the last month, the last 2 weeks, the last even this week. We've been doing the show for 8 years. We've never done three shows and a podcast in 1 week. We're doing that this week. We're doing three live shows. This is live show number two.
Well, I had no idea when I decided to run for office that so much was going to hit the fan during my campaign, like in my district, like with Chief Sellin.
And that's what about these other cops too that we mentioned?
Oh man, that's Stoughton.
Is that in your district as well? Where's that? Stoughton. Where is that?
What's right outside my district?
What town? Stoughton is it?
Canton's in my district, but okay. Stoughton is not. Yeah.
Okay.
There were four of them that abused this girl, this woman, from the time she was 15 years old. I have no words, like, and got away with it for that long. People really got to start paying attention to what's going on in their towns. Paying attention, you see some pretty, pretty awful stuff. Like, if you really just, you know, look a little bit past the surface, you see some stuff. I guarantee you.
They always talk about the right wingers now. It's the groomers. It's like, oh, well, where are they on the police grooming?
Where are they on the Catholic Church grooming?
Where are they on the Mormon
Young grooming? Explorers program?
Yeah, I know. Where are they young?
Kids and trained to be cops. Yeah. And look what they did to that girl.
They don't talk about the groomers in that case. Like, it's just strange.
And how many of them knew about it and never said anything?
They passed that girl around too. Like,
I know they
passed.
I know they did. Yeah.
That's really sick. Like, that's just.
And it makes you wonder how many of their friends are in on this stuff. You know what I mean? Because they all run in the same social circles. They do. It's people really need to start paying attention, and paying attention that the people that you vote for say, what are they doing once they get into office? Are they doing what I wanted them to, what they said they were going to do? Are they even trying, or are they doing the opposite? All these things are important. I have no delusions that I'm going to win, but I think it's important that people have options, because what we have now just isn't working.
And so you're going to be on the November ballot.
Yes.
People can vote for you for Massachusetts State Senate.
Yes.
We talked about some of the issues, workers' rights, green, green energy or
eco-socialism. Yes.
Yeah. Well, tell us more about that. Like, what does it mean for you? What kind of things would you like to see happen in Massachusetts around that issue?
Well, in Massachusetts, I mean, just as much as we can do right now, we have a whole eco-socialist caucus. That's got a, they're doing a lot of good work in Holbrook. Ultimately, you're going to need eco-socialism because the climate can't sustain the growth needed under capitalism. That's how we view it. In the meantime, though, certainly no drilling, certainly none of the Four River Bridge type of King's Cove type of, you know, oil things, none of that. But it seems to just be going on still. We're experiencing climate change. And we're still extracting fossil fuels, And you'd think we'd have figured it out by now, right? It's just kind of where I'm at on it.
Again, our telephone number, if anyone wants to call in, you got it there on the screen. I'm going to put it up right back up on the screen. It's 978-560-3155. I need to memorize this one now. I changed it to 978 this time because I knew if it was a 617 number, I would say like one of the old numbers. Because I would get them in my brain. I would just, you know. So now I'm 978. 978-3, see, I still did it though. 978-560-3155. If you want to call in and get a question for Laura Saylor, you want to talk about any of our content, maybe about workers' rights, maybe about the dispensaries in Massachusetts, maybe you're a worker somewhere or an ex-worker in the industry and you're not happy, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. You don't even have to use your real name either. If you want to be, I don't know, Tommy Chong, for instance, be Tommy Chong. We don't care. Like, you know, just don't be Mike Crawford or Laura Saylor, because we're already on the show. We already have those names tonight. You can be any other name. Be Mike Dukakis, giving you all kinds of names. I'm just coming up with names. How about Doug Flutie? I don't know. I've come up with some other ones too, maybe. Dan Gable. I'm coming up with sports guys now. 978-560-3155. Maybe you can be like a fake big dispensary guy.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
My name is Mike Crawford. We're with Laura Saylor. She's running again for Massachusetts State Senate. We've talked a lot. We talked about the Trulieve cultivation worker's death that raised questions. We've gotten some of our questions answered by her stepdad tonight and last night. Some breaking information about the CPR we brought up. It's pretty wild story we're covering. We're going to continue to cover it. There's also been an OSHA. We talked about that on last night's show, that we'd be looking into the OSHA complaint. I think before I even uploaded the iTunes, before I even edited that up, someone had sent me the OSHA complaint who had listened to it last night. So it was like, our audience is amazing. I love you folks. You guys are researching it as much as we are. A lot of our friends and comrades in the labor movement are helping out as well. And there's just a lot of other people too behind the scenes. I want to thank Kim Napoli too, especially for helping out throughout this. Looking forward to Thursday night. We're going to have a big show with Kim Napoli on the show, as well as Carolyn Pino from STEM Haverhill. It's going to be another cannabis episode. Got a lot to talk to them about. I don't even know where we're going to start because there's so much to talk about. So I'm not even going to tease it. Just going to say, if you like cannabis, Kim Napoli and Carolyn, I mean, it's going to be an amazing show on Thursday night. You're not going to want to miss it. Believe me. My name is Mike Crawford. Again, we're with Laura Saylor from Massachusetts State Senate. I guess give us your final pitch on why people should vote for you over Paul Feeney on the ballot.
I think that people should just take a look at what I stand for, what my positions are versus Paul Feeney's. And if you prefer mine, if you prefer no more qualified immunity, if you prefer reallocating police funding to things that the community could better use. I know in Mansfield, we could use a community center for, you know, for kids when they get out of school, have a place to go. We don't have that. We have the tax base for it. We don't have it. Every place could use a crisis management department that's separate from the police. To me, that's very important. I don't think the two belong together. They've tried that in Northampton and Amherst, and they're having some success with it. He would prefer adding more money to police. I am for not taking any more fossil fuel out of the ground. He is for keeping up pipelines. So, you know, take a look. And if you want to vote for me, I have no delusions that I'm going to win. But at least listen to what we have to say. And if you like what we have to say or you agree with one of our positions, let us know. We have working groups on all kinds of subjects, from police brutality, from political prisoners, climate, rent and landlord and tenant issues. We have a labor group, working group going on. There's a lot of ways to get involved. And, you know, we'd just like to meet you. And like I said, with the chief selling stuff too, we've received support from all factions of the political spectrum. We're far, very far left, but we've, you know, heard support from people.
Who are conservative.
All across the spectrum.
In the middle.
You know what? You're right about that. Yeah. So, you know, take a look. Don't write us off. Take a look at us. I know that Nick Giannone, he's run for office before. I think he'd make a fabulous auditor. I don't think there'd be a better auditor than Nick. Nick would be on people. You know, I mean, Nick.
I got to have Nick back on. He was a good kid. He was a good interview last time, too. He's very fiery. He very strong. He, it's funny, too, because we've actually had the other two auditor candidates, the Anthony Amore, who won the Republican primary, and we've also had the Democratic primary winner, State Senator Diana DeSoglio. And, you know, but behind the scenes, I'm going to give everyone a little, you know, WGBH has been talking about how they can't host an auditor debate without having all five candidates. Are there five candidates? Are there really five, or are they just saying that?
I'd have to double check with Nick.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, that's my guy.
But we're also in the negotiation. You know what I think it is? I think that none of the candidates want to do WGBH. Let's just say that. But they all want to do our show. They all want to come on this show. We're going to have a debate on this show. That's what we're actually trying to work on negotiating.
I would love it if you put him in there with a debate. That'd be great.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I'm going to try to get, we've already talked to Diana. I'm going to hit her up again. And she's the one who makes the decision. You know that, whether it happens. But even if she says no, then I'm going to ask Anthony. You know what I mean? We'll have a second and third party debate, I guess. We're going to do something. We'll see.
Yeah, we just want our voice heard. Because,
and you know why? Because we're better than GBH.
You are. And you know,
absolutely. All the candidates would rather have fun here with us than be on GBH.
That's right.
That's the reason, Jim Brody. It's because you're not fun like we are.
That's right. And I mean, I think that would be great. You'd have all the candidates together that they could debate. I think Nick would do awesome. Because I just think he'd be a bulldog auditor. He'd be, you know, that's what we need.
Well, we'll see what happens.
Brandon, of course, is already serving on the town council in Whitman. He's on the planning board.
We shall see what happens. We're going to do a lot more shows, and we're going to have a lot more campaigns on. Definitely would like to get you back on right before the election, too.
Okay.
Awesome. Thank you so much tonight, Laura. Anything last that you want to leave the audience before you check out?
It was a pleasure. And if you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out. Just ask, we'll answer.
Thank you so much, Laura.
Thank you. And you know what? I really, Lorna's family, my God, I couldn't believe 1994 was her year of birth. And Mike, you're around my age. You're a little younger than me, but you've seen workplace protections just go downhill.
Big time.
It makes you angry. It really enrages you. It's unbelievable. But thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Laura Saylor, running for Massachusetts State Senate. She's going to be on the ballot in November. You can vote for her in Massachusetts. She's got a lot of things she wants to change, and workers' rights is one of the top ones. So check her out. Thank you so much, Laura.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Excellent. Good night. We're the Young Jerks. I'm going to stick around for a couple more seconds. I mean, we are going to check out of here. I want to thank everyone who's been supporting the show, sharing the show, and thank Carmelita. And again, thank Kim Napoli for helping out too with last night's show, especially giving me the heads up on that. And I want to just note, we broke some more news tonight about the Lorna McMurray situation, the True Leave worker who passed away in January. She collapsed at her workplace, was taken, I'm assuming by ambulance, to a medical center where she passed away. She never made it home. We've heard from her stepdad twice now, once last night, once tonight's show. He basically, you know, just basically confirmed what our fears were, that no one knew CPR around Lorna when she collapsed. And he definitely made some statements about that. So lot happening on that. It's I just got to give it to him for just continuing to call in on the show and to really just want to speak up for her. So big love to Dave, stepdad Dave of Lorna. We're the Young Jerks. Mike Crawford will be back on Thursday night with Kim Napoli and Carolyn Pino from STEM Haverhill. I want to thank everyone for supporting us, subscribing to us. Please, if you haven't subscribed to us on the iTunes or wherever you're listening, whether it's YouTube, iTunes, make sure you're hitting that sub button. And if you can, if it's there, rate it and like us and follow us and do all that good stuff for us. And thank you for sharing it. I know a lot of you have been sharing it this week. Thank you so much. We're the Young Jerks. We'll see you on Thursday night at 7 p.m.